Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. This week, we're going to get into our second teaching, and we're going through the beginning of the book of Leviticus, where we're talking about the offerings of Yahweh, the offerings that God laid out to Israel and what he had instructed them to bring unto himself. And so this week, we're going to be going into our second teaching regarding the offerings. Last week, we talked about the burnt offering and what that means to us as believers, what it represents to us, and how the burnt offering was a way in which Israel was able to draw near unto Yahweh, and how we are to approach him and draw near unto him, and how they were to bring an offering that was without blemish. So as we draw near unto him, we are bringing him the best that we have. So this week, we're going to dive into the peace offering and the instructions that we see and what we can learn regarding the peace offering that Israel was instructed to bring unto Yahweh. So we're going to start here in Leviticus chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, if his offering is a sacrifice of peace offerings, if he is going to bring near one from the herd, whether male or female, he shall bring it near without blemish before Yahweh. Then he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and slaughter it at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priest, shall splash the blood around on the altar. From the sacrifice of the peace offerings, he shall bring an offering by fire near to Yahweh, the fat that uncovers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins and on the lobe of the kidney, which he shall remove with the kidneys. Then Aaron's sons shall offer it up in smoke on the altar on the burnt offering, which is on the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to Yahweh. So one of the things that we see by reading through this passage is that the peace offering, the sacrifice, when they did this, was actually done different than the burnt offering was done, and also how we're going to read later on when it comes to the sin offering and the guilt offering. So the peace offering was made different from the other ones, not just by the reason in which they were bringing the offering, but the way they did it was different as well, making it different from the other ones. And the peace offering was something that they would bring unto Yahweh because they were seeking to bring an offering that you could say they desire to have peace with Yahweh. So that's what we're going to dive into this week, is that Yahweh gave them a way to which they could approach him and draw near unto him to bring peace between themselves and Yahweh. So this was the purpose of this offering. So when we think about peace and what peace means unto us, you know, one of the first things you can think of when you think of peace is the end of hostility. And that's what peace would mean, is that we are ending hostility towards someone. So when someone was bringing a peace offering unto Yahweh, it was a way of saying, I want to bring reconciliation between me and God. So the peace offering is actually one of the offerings that, as we look at it and we study it, we actually see some of the things that Yeshua did for us when he died upon that cross. So when he died upon that cross, yes, he died for our sin, and we're going to get into that when we get into the sin offering. He also died to remove our guilt. So the fact that they have two different offerings between the sin and the guilt shows us that when we think about our sin, we have to realize that he died upon that cross for both of those things. He removed sin and he removed guilt. And one of the other things that he did was he brought peace between us and God, because our sin put us at enmity. It put us at hostility. There was hostility between us and God because of our sin. So by him being that sinless and spotless one who willingly gave of his life upon that cross, he brought an end between the hostility between us and God, allowing us to have peace with him, allowing us to have reconciliation. So when Israel was bringing this peace offering, they were rehearsing what Yeshua would do when he would come and die on the cross. They were rehearsing and being taught and told that the death of Yeshua was going to bring peace between them and God, that it was going to bring reconciliation between them. There, when you have peace and a relationship, you have reconciliation. You have a healing in that relationship where there was once hostility, where there was once separation. So let's look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, this is speaking of Yeshua, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and enemies in mind and in evil deeds, but now he reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. So this is Paul speaking to us, and one of the things that he is speaking about when he's talking about the death of Yeshua, what is he saying here? That Yeshua reconciled all things unto himself. He made peace through his blood on the cross. So when he died upon that cross, when his blood was shed on that cross, he made peace. He made peace between us who were sinners, who were living against God's law, who was not walking in his ways, who were instead walking according to the desires of our flesh, who were walking according to the world. We had transgressed his law. We had sinned against him, thus making us an enemy in him. And that was what Paul says here in verse 21, that you were formerly alienated and enemies and mind and in evil deeds. That was how we were walking before we became to know Yeshua. In our mind, we were enemies of him. Our minds did not seek to please him. Our minds did not seek to walk in his ways. In fact, our deeds, the things that we did, were evil. We walked and did according to what satisfied our desires, our lust, what we wanted. And that was according to how the world lives. And we were not walking as someone who walked in his way. So we were enemies of his. We were alienated away from God. So something had to be done to reconcile us back together. Something had to be done in order for us to have peace with the God who had created us. And that is what God's desire was from the very beginning, was to have relationship with us. He desires to have relationship with everyone. He wants to be reconciled with everyone who is walking on this earth. But there is something that keeps people apart and separated from him, and that is sin. So that sin, which alienates people from him, had to be dealt with, and that is what the blood of Yeshua does. His body being torn in the flesh brought us peace with God and reconciled us back to himself, okay? Now let's look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, as we continue reading here in this passage. It says, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. So it's interesting, as Paul is speaking about how Yeshua has made peace with us between God and how he has reconciled us unto him, where we are no longer alienated and enemies of God. And then he follows that statement up with, if you continue in the faith. So we as believers who have been reconciled unto Yahweh, we can stand and know that we have peace with him, and we are at peace with him, and we are reconciled with him, not because of anything that we have done, but because what Yeshua has done for us, because he died upon that cross for us, and because his blood was shed, we have that peace, and we can stand in right standing before God, and we can be back and reconciled in a good relationship with him. But Paul continues this on and says, if you continue in the faith, because we're going to have to continue in the faith. We're going to have to be firmly grounded and steadfast in our faith, because there will be things that come along that will test our faith, that will attempt to pull us away from our faith, that will attempt to cause us to stray from our faith. The lust of our flesh, the desires of our flesh, the desire to be conformed unto this world can draw us away from our faith. They can draw us away from being grounded and steadfast in our faith. So we have to stay grounded. We have to stay steadfast. We can't just think that it was a one-time thing. I believed at one moment in my life, so I am at peace. But we need to stay grounded so that we stay in peace with him, that we don't walk away from being at peace with him and become alienated away from him again. Because if we don't stay grounded in our faith, which our faith should produce action. Our faith should be alive, because we believe him, we should seek to walk in his ways. And so if our minds become an enemy of him again, and we start thinking contrary unto him and following the lust and the desires of our flesh instead of his word and his ways, we can be drawn away from the faith. Now let's look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Yeshua Messiah, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. So Paul here in Romans is saying we have peace with God because we have been justified by our faith. So our faith and Yeshua Messiah has justified us. It has put us in right standing with God. It has given us peace with him. It has reconciled us unto him. We are walking in harmony with him. All hostility between us and God has been done away with because of our faith and because of his grace. His grace is a reason that we can stand and boast. There is nothing that we can stand and boast upon and say, we did this, which gave us the right to deserve to have peace with God. The only reason that we can have peace with God is because of his grace, because he has loved us and he has desired for us to be at peace with him. The only thing that we can boast and say is that we have believed in him, and because of his grace, we have believed in him. And let's look at verse 3. And not only this, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not put to shame, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, it's very interesting. Paul is talking about us having peace with God and how we have been restored to a right relationship with God. And in the midst of this passage, he speaks about how we boast in our afflictions, and how it's our afflictions that bring forth perseverance and character, and that character brings forth hope. Why does Paul break off into this? If we think about the concept of peace, as I started out this teaching, when we think about peace and what it means, and our first initial thought about peace is the end of hostility. And yes, when Yeshua died upon that cross, he brought peace in terms of he ended the hostility that we had with God. But peace means so much more than just that in Scripture. Peace also means that there is prosperity and that there is a well-being and happiness and joy. So it's this idea that we have a blessing that is coming from him. So the fact that Yeshua died upon that cross and brought us peace, it means more than just that we are no longer an enemy of God, but it also means that we are now in a place where God desires to pour out his blessings upon us, where there is prosperity. And the prosperity, we're not necessarily talking about the fact that we're rich and we have tons of money, but it's the fact that we are prospering in what we're doing. We have what we need to live, and we can have what we need to pay our bills and to survive and to do the work that he has called us to do and to live a happy and joyful life here on this earth. That is the blessings that he wants to give out to us. So as they were bringing the peace offering, not only were they bringing an offering unto him to end hostility with God, but also to gain favor, you could say, with him, and the fact that he would pour out his joy and his blessing and his prosperity upon them. It was a way in which they could seek out for him and ask for him to bless them, to show God that they needed him, that they needed his blessing upon their life, that they needed his provision. And that is part of our faith, is relying upon him to provide for us, to bring his blessing upon us, that we will not lack and that his goodness will be given unto us. And no matter what we need, he is going to be there to provide unto us and provide what we need, and that he's going to pour his goodness out upon us. So we need to have this faith and this hope that he is going to pour out his blessings and his goodness upon us, and that we're going to walk in prosperity. We're going to walk in his joy. And one of the ways that we gain this hope, as Paul is saying, is by facing afflictions, by going through afflictions, going through trials, because it is going through the afflictions and going through the trial that we build character. And he refines us and he teaches us how to trust in him and how to rely upon him and how to put our hope and our faith in him. So just as Yeshua is that peace offering, we can bring a peace offering unto him with the bulls of our lips and the means of where we are coming unto him, putting our faith into him, offering up the words of our lips and believing and hoping for him and expecting for him to pour his goodness out upon us and his favor out upon us, where we are going to walk in prosperity and in joy. Now let's continue on in this passage in verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Messiah died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Messiah died for us. So as Paul is continuing to talk about how Yeshua brought us peace, he's now diving into this concept that he died for us while we were sinners. And he is just showing the magnitude of Yeshua's love for us, because he says, how hardly would someone die for someone who is righteous? Much more so, someone who is a sinner, who is your enemy, who would lay down their life for their enemy, who would die for their enemy. But Yeshua died for us while we were yet sinners, while we were his enemy, while we were at war with him. Our minds were at war with his ways and his way of thinking. And while we were in that state, he died for us because he loved us. Now let's look at verse 9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also boast in God through our Lord Yeshua Messiah, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So here Paul is talking about how we were enemies, we were saved by the blood of Yeshua from the wrath of God. So we were his enemy. We were not in reconciliation. We were not in right standing with him. We were deserving of the wrath of God, but he loved us so much that he died on that cross for us while we were yet sinners. Because if we would just taste of his grace, if we would just believe in what he had done for us, then we could be saved from this wrath, and we could be reconciled unto God, and we could have peace with God. We could experience the blessings of God, and that is what he did. He loved us so that we could be reconciled unto God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Messiah and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Messiah reconciling the world to himself, not counting their transgressions against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So here Paul is speaking to those in Corinth, and he is saying that we who are in Christ are now a new creation. The old things have passed away. So that old man who was an enemy of God, who was walking contrary to God, that is the old man. That person has passed away. We have now been reconciled unto God. We have now been brought into peace with God and are a new creation. So new things have come. So now as a person who has been brought into reconciliation with God, we are to walk as a new creation. We are not to walk as that old man walked. Everything that we did as that old man has passed away. The things that we did, the behavior that we walked in that made us an enemy of God has now passed away. So our focus upon one who has put our belief in Yeshua and has been brought into right standing and has been reconciled with God is to walk as that new creation, to not walk as that old man anymore. That stuff has passed away. And now those who have been reconciled unto God, he no longer is counting our transgressions against us. So that's what it means unto us when we have been brought into right standing with God, when he has reconciled us and he has made peace with us. He is not counting our transgressions anymore. But that does not mean we continue to purposefully walk in transgressions and purposefully sin, hoping and believing that he will not count our transgressions against us. Because as Paul stated when he started this off, the old man has passed away. So We should be striving and aiming to walk as a new man. But the blessing and the joy that we get to experience, that as we are learning what it means to walk as a new man, we will slip up and we will mess up. And we can count on the fact, because we have been brought into peace with God, that He is not sitting there counting our transgressions. Now let's look at verse 21. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So that is what Yeshua did for us. When He died upon that cross, the one who was without sin became sin, so that when we put our faith in Messiah, He makes peace between us and God, and we become the righteousness of God. The old man who was not walking in righteousness, but was walking in sin and disobedience, now becomes the righteousness of God. He looks at us and He sees us in right standing with Himself, but He also puts His Spirit inside of us, and His Spirit leads us and guides us in that which is true. And He puts His word in our heart, and He teaches us about His righteousness, and He circumcises our hearts, and He gives us a desire to walk in His ways and to seek out His ways and to walk in obedience unto His word and the commandments in which He has given us, because His law is righteousness. The instructions that He has laid out unto us is righteousness. So when He has brought us into this place of right standing, He is guiding us and teaching us on how to walk in His righteousness and how to do that which is righteous, so that we can be a sweet smelling aroma unto Him. The peace offering was a sweet smelling aroma. When it burned upon the altar, as that fat burned upon the altar, it smelt good in the nostrils of Yahweh, and because He smelt that and it brought a smile unto His face, He would turn around and He would pour out His blessings and His favor upon Israel. And so that is what we are able to do because of the blood of Yeshua. We can come and bring our peace offering in the form of the bulls of our lips, the praises of our lips, the words that we speak when we sing of our praise and we speak praise unto Him. It is a sweet smelling aroma unto Him, and it's something that brings a smile unto His face, and in return, He pours out His blessing and His joy upon us, because we are in right standing with Him, and we're also aiming and guiding to live as a person in right standing with Him. And that's what we're going to look at now in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is at enmity toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh are not able to please God. So Paul here in this passage is breaking down what it is that's actually an enemy of God. And the thing that is an enemy of God is the mindset of the flesh. So as believers, we need to be focused upon what our mindset is on. If our mind is set on the flesh, then our mind is at war with God. So for us who have obtained and put our belief in Yeshua and have been brought into right standing with Yahweh, we need to stand firm in our faith. That was what we talked about in our opening passage, stand firm in our faith. How we're going to stay firm in our faith is right here in this passage, and is what we do with our minds. If our minds are set on the flesh, then we will be at war with God. Because what does Paul say in verse 7? For the mind of the flesh does not subject itself to the law of God. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that we are to obey the law of God. The thing that is inside of us that does not want to subject itself to the law of God is the mind of the flesh. And that is why it's our enemy, because the mind of the flesh does not want you to subject itself to the law of God. That is what God wants from you. He wants you to walk in his ways. He wants you to be obedient unto his law and the instructions he has given us. And that mind of the flesh is not going to subject itself to that. So that mind that is set on the flesh is not going to walk in obedience to God's law, and thus is not going to put you at a place where you are at peace with him. If you want to be at peace with him, you need to have the mindset on the Spirit. For the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. The mind of the Spirit is going to be opposite of the mind of the flesh. Where the mind of the flesh did not want to subject itself to the law of God, the mind of the Spirit, the mind that is set on the Spirit, is going to want to and be willing to subject itself to the law of God, to be willing to do the things that God has instructed for us to do, and to walk in his ways. So for those who are walking in the flesh, whose mind is set on the flesh and are not subjecting itself to the law of God, it says, to those they are not able to please God. The ones who are able to please God are those who have their mind set on the law of God, the set on the Spirit. His Spirit is going to lead us and guide us according to the Word of God, according to the law of God, and those things which he has instructed for us to do. Let's look at verse 12 in the same chapter. So then, brothers, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the practices of the body, you will live. For as many as are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So Paul goes on to say that we who have put our faith in Yeshua, we have been given the Holy Spirit, and we are under no obligation to the flesh. We are in no obligation to live according to the flesh. And how does the flesh live? Contrary to the law of God. And he says, if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if you live by the Spirit, what are you doing? You're putting to death the practices of the body, or you're putting to death the flesh. You're putting to death the thing that is in your body that is fighting against the law of God. You're putting to death the things that will not subject itself to the law of God, and you submit yourself to the law of God, meaning you obey his word, the commandments he has given us. So you are no longer a slave. As he says in another chapter, we are no longer a slave unto sin. We're no longer a slave unto our flesh. We are now a slave unto righteousness. You're serving one of the two. You're either serving obedience to his law, or you're serving disobedience to his law. And the one who is your master is the one in whom you are obeying. And as he finishes off, who are the sons of God? It is those who are being led by the Spirit of God. So those who are putting to death the flesh, those who are putting to death the desires of their flesh, those things that are rebelling against the law of God, and they are submitting themselves to the Spirit. So they are submitting themselves to obedience to God's law. They are the ones that's being led by the Spirit. How do you know you're led by the Spirit? Because you have a desire and a willingness to be obedient to His word. And to these, they are called the sons of God. To these, they are walking in peace with God. And to these, they can see the blessings flowing from God. They can see prosperity and blessing and joy and happiness in their life. They will see life. They won't see death. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So it's a matter of what we're setting our minds on. Are you thinking upon the things of the flesh, or are you thinking about the things of the Spirit? If you're thinking about the things of the Spirit, His word, His law, that which He has laid out unto us, you will be led by the Spirit, and you will walk according to the Spirit. And then you will receive the blessing of what we see in verse 1 of Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Messiah Yeshua. So the ultimate thing that we can learn by the peace offering is the fact that we serve a God who desired for us to be at peace with Him. And first of all, in order for us to be at peace with Him, we must put our faith and belief in Yeshua Messiah and believe that is by His blood that we who were enemies are now been brought into right standing with Yahweh, and that we can live. And now we set our minds on the things of the Spirit, and we walk according to the Spirit, which means that now that we have been brought into our right standing with Yahweh, now we love and desire to walk in obedience to His word, because it was disobedience to His word which made us an enemy. And then to those who have a belief in Yeshua and are being led by His Spirit, there is no condemnation. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.